It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With your special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
It's new release day. It's March 5th. Yay! We get so excited when we get that day, so Mondays and Fridays are awesome. With her debut EP racking up over 35 million streams, Toronto-born, Nashville-based indie folk singer-songwriter Kate Gillespie is making her mark on the indie folk scene. Her storytelling with her title track Pink and Gold received over 800,000 streams on Spotify. It makes my skin just shiver when I think about her vocals and her raw honesty on that track, and the lyrics that pull at every single heartstring. Her single, New York, released in 2019, brings her writing to a brand new level that's poetic and transparent. It's just amazing, with that new twist on taking heartbreak and hope to a new level. Kate Gillespie is back here today with her brand new single, On the Floor. Woohoo! Yay! How are you doing with all of everything that's going on with this pandemic?
You know, I'm doing quite well right now. I was in Nashville at the beginning of it about a year ago, and I've been back in Toronto since August, so it's a completely different vibe here, and the move has been for the best, I think, pandemic-wise.
I think it's probably a big change for you, too. At least you get to come back and be with your family, because I know that your dad and your mom are still here in Toronto, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's...
Yeah, it makes a big difference for sure.
Now, you went to Nashville, and you were going to specifically go for the Belmont University School of Music and Commercial Voice and Songwriting program, right?
Yeah, that's right. I moved back there in, what was the year? I suppose it was 2014, 2013, I think. It was 2013.
Yeah.
After high school. I moved there when I was 18.
I know that this was really important to you, and I know that your parents really supported you. Your dad's a journalist. And yeah. So I'm sure that, you know, that songwriting came into play. What was the music influence in your home?
Well, you know, neither of my parents are musicians or have ever really been musicians. So the influence partially came from my father's interest in country music, which helped introduce me to it. And him and I went on a couple of trips to Nashville just for fun, just the two of us. And that was very influential to see an entire scene of people that were into the genre that I was into, because as a, like, 12-year-old in Toronto, I didn't know anybody that listened to country music at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, that had a huge influence on me wanting to do a music career and also wanting to move to Nashville eventually.
You're very, very disciplined, you know, when it comes to your singing songwriting. Are you really happy that you went doing this 4-year course in comparison to going down and just starting songwriting, you know, with different artists?
Well, hard to say. I think that overall, yes, I'm happy that I did it. If I could do it again, I would do 4 years in the songwriting school rather than the music school, because I was a music major with a songwriting minor.
Mm.
And the songwriting program was actually just far, it was far more creative and industry focused than mm-hmm. the music school itself. The music school was great because I got a lot of classical training and probably wouldn't have, you know, been able to play an instrument very well had it not been for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I think that I gained so much more from the songwriting school, even though it was only my minor, mm-hmm. that had a much bigger impact on what I'm doing now.
Yeah, because you were sitting and writing, you know, for quite a while, you know, with several different writers. How much of an influence did that have based on your writing process?
Well, yeah, when I moved to Nashville, that's when I was essentially introduced to co-writing. So I didn't do much of it before that. And Nashville's such a collaborative city when it comes to stuff like that. So it had a big influence, especially in terms of what genre I was into. Because like I said, I went to Nashville being into country music. And it was just shortly after I moved there that I kind of shifted the genre that I wanted to write myself and that I also enjoyed. Because I was introduced to folk and indie and Americana music, which I essentially, for some reason, hadn't paid much attention to before, didn't really know existed before before moving there. So, you know, you'd think that, you know, Nashville is so country-centric that it would kind of amplify you know, my interest in it. But it actually went the other way around. It was moving to Nashville and collaborating with people who were interested in other genres that pushed me to move into a different genre.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
I know that makes, you know, it does make a big difference to whatever, you know, connects with you. I know that you talk about, like all your lyrics, you know, are really incredible because you speak, you know, about honesty and, you know, what's real to you. And obviously that kind of reflected to which direction you went, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's something that I think co-writing is a more difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're co-writing with somebody, typically you're trying to come up with a concept that the two of you or three of you or whoever can relate to, and as a result, lots of other people can relate to it as well. When I'm writing on my own, it's a bit of a different story. I find that the lyrics end up being more honest that way. So, you know, I can co-write and I enjoy it quite a bit, but I find that I write the best songs by myself, and those are ones that I usually end up releasing as well. So everything that I've released so far under my own name has been a solo written piece.
So do you base most of the writing on real life experience or stories that you hear?
Yeah, I definitely base it on real life experience. Most of them are relationship stories, you know, even if certain things here and there are exaggerated or under-exaggerated or whatever, you know, altered a little bit for the purpose of the song. They're always based off of real ideas, things that have happened.
Now, I know that, you know, so many of the songwriters, you know, it's so hard to reinvent that wheel when it comes to talking about love or, you know, when it comes to talking about heartbreak. But you have really done, you know, such an amazing job on the singles that you've had out so far.
Thank you.
How much have you learned, you know, along the way from the time that you started writing until now? What is the most important lesson you've learned?
The most important lesson I've learned? Well, I think, you know, in terms of the songwriting process, that's an experience that can totally differ for a lot of people. And for myself, I've just learned that I write the best songs when I'm actually feeling the things in the moment. So when I have to write songs when I'm not feeling all these, you know, complicated or heightened emotions or whatever, I've had to learn how to do that, like how to kind of bring that out of me when I don't feel like doing it, or when I'm, you know, feeling perfectly happy and don't have a sad story to write about. I've had to figure out how to do that. So I think that's been one of the most beneficial things that I've learned, because it's, you know, something that I can now do all the time. But that being said, you know, like I said earlier, I think I still get the best results when I'm just feeling something in the moment and, you know, write about it. Get it done quickly.
Is it easier now than what it was when you did Pink and Gold and when you did New York? Do you find that it's changed quite a bit even now with your brand new single On the Floor?
Yeah, I think that genre-wise it has changed quite a bit. But so much of it is based off of what's been going on in my life at the time. Like Pink and Gold was an EP that I wrote right after a breakup. So all of the songs were written in kind of a short-ish period of time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were all about things that I was feeling at the time. So it got completed, the material was completed quite quickly. And since then, I feel that it's been a little more difficult. Like I was just, I just got out of a 3-year relationship. So for those 3 years, you know, and I think I write about sad subject matters much better. That's easier for me. So for those 3 years, I felt a little uninspired. So that's where figuring out how to kind of those emotions and force them out of myself into songs. That's where those techniques came in handy. So yeah, so the stuff that I've been writing recently, like it almost feels like I've kind of cycled back around. Like now I've, you know, that relationship has ended and I have all this new material to write about. So it's all very circumstantial, I'd say.
Well, I think, you know, you talk about it, you know, in a way that's really brutally honest. And, you know, when it comes to owning, you know, the breakup and being able to walk through it, that's what comes through in the lyrics. And that's what I love about On the Floor. And
thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, like when you're going through things, you know, so many of the listeners out there are going through stuff, especially now. You know, there's been a lot of breakups when it comes to, you know, being in lockdown and you know, things that people are experiencing right now that they've never experienced before. Because when you've got all the noise, you know, that's there, it's easier to put stuff on the burner and not sort of deal with the feelings. But now, you know, with everybody going through the pandemic, it's very difficult to hide that stuff because you're face to face, you know, with those emotions, you know, a lot longer periods of time. And, you know, that's why I love, you know, when I'm listening to it, it's brutally honest. It's such a, you know, a great tune that you've written.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. And yeah, that's exactly what it's about. You know, those things can't be ignored when you're not, you know, going to work from 9 to 5 the night after having an argument, like you're sitting on the couch together all day.
Mm-hmm.
So, completely, all those feelings are unavoidable. And a lot of people say that, like, pandemic relationships, you know, 2 months is like a year in a lockdown with somebody.
That's so true. That's so true.
Hey, be nice.
That is really true. You know, I never really, you know, thought about it quite in that context, but yeah, that is, you know, that is really true. So the problems that you probably would have just ignored along the way, because you can, you know, get in your car, or you're going to work or whatever. You can't really do that when you're in the house 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you're familiar with the reality, you know, trashy reality TV show Love Island, where they're all locked on an island together for 2 months. And they always said on that show that, you know, their 2 week relationships feel like 6 month things. Like, you go through all those emotions because the amount of time you're actually spending with those people is like the amount of time that you would spend over the course of 6 months, but it's all been concentrated into these, you know, couple of weeks or months because you're locked in a house together.
That's right.
So
I just started watching that the other night, you know, and it was so funny that you're bringing that up, because, you know, like, you're sitting there and you, like, when you go out on dates and things like that, when you're dating somebody, you're going out like once a week, or you might go out twice a week or something if you guys are living close by. But when you're working and you're busy, like you are, you know, you're not going to see each other except, you know, for maybe on the weekends kind of thing.
Right.
So it's like a very condensed form of dating.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, last year, at the beginning of the pandemic, which is when I wrote On the Floor, I had been living in Toronto for a couple months because I was waiting to get my U.S. visa, and it ended up getting approved on, like, something like March 10th or something, which was, you know, immediately when the pandemic started. So I heard that the borders were going to be closing soon. So I immediately headed back to Nashville and moved in with my boyfriend. So it's like, with no time in between, I immediately moved in with him, and then we were trapped in a house with one another for months.
Ouch.
Like, right off the bat, you know, no way to ease into it whatsoever. No degrees of separation at all.
Yeah, all those little things that, you know, you got to have the excitement of the relationship and, you know, the ecstatic end of it, you know, the fantasy end of it when you're first starting, right? And the euphoria. Then all of a sudden you guys are like irritated with each other, you know, who's putting the lid on the tube of toothpaste and other stuff, right? So,
yeah.
Right. I'm being nice about all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you're releasing today. What was the decision to, you know, in going through with this pandemic and how you're, you know, releasing your music this year?
Yeah, so I have a few things recorded from the initial quarantine period. My partner of the time is a producer. So while we were trapped in a house together for several months on end, we were able to use his studio and record and write and get a lot of music done that way. So that was really awesome. That was definitely a benefit of the pandemic for us, because he had a studio right in his backyard. So that was very fortunate for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a product. It's a product of the quarantine, I guess. And so once I had it finished, I figured that I might as well release it, because it's still, you know, here we are in lockdown again in Toronto for, I don't know, what is this, the third month, fourth month?
Yeah, unfortunately.
So it's still a relevant subject matter, I think.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's like perfect timing, because so many people are going through this and really antsy to get out of the winter weather, and be able to come into spring, which, you know, everybody looks at it, you're shedding everything off. You know, that's when you really start your new year, you know, when you're able to get out and being able to get about, so everybody kind of comes out of their winter coma. But, you know, this is a little different. So, but yeah, what a perfect timing, and people can relate to this song really well. Here is indie artist Kate Gillespie. It's a brand new single out today, and it's called On the Floor here on Music's Journey.
It's release day. There's Kate Gillespie and On the Floor. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast. Once again, here's your host, Kim Sear.
People have really related to your lyrics. And did that surprise you how well you were received?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you're writing something that's personal to yourself, it's best case scenario if other people can relate to it. But there are things that I didn't necessarily try to make sure were, you know, super generic so that they'd have a really wide reach relatability-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a nice surprise that some people told me they were able to relate to these lyrics. And I think, you know, I guess that's the way that a lot of relationships go.
Mm-hmm.
Typically things that happen in getting together and breakups, you know, lots of people can share those experiences with one another. But yeah, to write about a personal story and have somebody be able to get something from it is a great feeling.
I think, too, it's going to be really unique to see, you know, the fans being able to speak to you on social media, because it's not something that's normal. Like when you're releasing a song, most artists are going into, you know, the radio stations, they have a 10-minute interview, and, you know, they're talking about, you know, the song being released onto radio, and then, you know, they don't really have time to be able to talk with fans like you would now. And
right.
for them to be able to share with you about your lyrics is only going to be like such a big plus. I know a lot of people, you know, aren't looking at the pandemic in a positive way, but I think this is something that has been really beneficial, you know, for the fans and, you know, helping them to get through issues that they just might not be facing themselves. And they can talk to you for real. And as I said, you're very honest and very transparent, you know, when it comes to the lyrics. And that's what I think everybody relates to so well. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the fans respond to this one. I think it's just going to be absolutely phenomenal.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, when it comes to video, are you going to be doing anything about that? Or is it just going to be a lyrical video for the song?
Yeah, so I have a lyric video. I'm not in it, but I have a couple of friends in Nashville that, you know, I kind of gave creative control to create something, and there are a lot of really beautiful visuals in it. But of course, because of the pandemic, I decided that it would be better to go with a lyric video where I don't have to be physically present, and I'll save the music video for later when it's a little bit safer to put that together.
Okay.
So yeah, you know, and it's actually my first lyric video, so
nice.
It's a good time for it, I think.
Very good. So much is moving forward for you. So that's great.
Thank you, yeah.
A lot to look forward to 2021. So what else do you got
for sure
coming?
So I have a few other songs to follow this one. I'll have another single coming a couple months after On the Floor. And in the summer, I'm planning on releasing an EP. So that'll be my second EP. Which I'm really excited about, because it's been a while since the last one, since Pink and Gold. So it's just really exciting to be, you know, in the stages of creating and planning and finishing up all this stuff that I've been eager to share for quite a while now.
Oh, I bet. After a full year of being in lockdown, yeah. I bet you're ready.
Yeah, and I think, like it's interesting how the subject matter will change throughout the EP. I'm going to organize it in kind of chronological order as to what was written first to last, you know, because we'll start with On the Floor, which was written at the beginning of the pandemic, and the last song will be the most recently written one, and relationship-wise, so many things changed throughout that, that you can almost kind of, if you were to listen to the lyrics, you could almost kind of understand why and how my relationship ended. So
it all unfolds in all the songs.
Quite a few different stages.
How many songs are on the EP?
They're going to be 5 or 6 songs.
Okay.
I haven't firmed up whether I'll put the 6th one on there, but I'm hoping that I will.
Oh, that's great. So
yeah,
fans can get to see exactly what happened to you in lockdown and and
right.
in this relationship that you went through. So, you know, but there's hope on the other side, right?
Yes, absolutely. This
yeah.
is actually the first set of breakup songs that I've ever written that aren't negative and angry about the other person. Like, I find that they're almost more sad because nice breakup songs. You know?
Another Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Like, it's easier when you have something to be pissed off about sometimes. When it comes to a breakup, in my experience. You know, and none of these songs are roasting anybody. And believe it or not, that's a first for me.
Well, you know what? It's all new, right? That's what I talk about with the spring. It's all coming new. So I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot of different breakup songs right now. So where can everybody download the song right now?
So you can find it on Spotify right now. It will also be on Apple Music and any streaming service that's available to you. It should be there. And you could also find my Instagram at Kate Gillespe, which is Gillespie without the IE at the end, just
okay.
Kate Gillespe. And otherwise, all of the streaming services will have it.
Well, we remind fans that They can purchase the new single On the Floor and catch up with all the news and social media and all the merch that's on Kate's website there. So reminding everybody, when you are streaming songs, it does help the artists a lot. And it really brings up, you know, the awards that are there for Spotify, for Amazon Music. The more that you're sharing, you know, the more that the artist is going to get out of it. So, you know what, do what you can. And if you don't hear the song that you like and you want to hear On the Floor, call your local radio station and they will play it for you. So don't forget that you guys got a big role to play. So that'll really help Kate.
Kate, I got to tell you, I love the coffee mug on your merch page. It says, "Your heart ain't the only thing that small."
That's
nice.
Yeah, there's an example of a song that I did that was roasting somebody.
Is there a new coffee mug that's going to be put out for merch this year with this one?
I've got one in the works, but it won't be as sassy.
Oh, come on.
More than sassy.
More than sweet. Okay. Well, you know what? We count on you for the sass, right? You gotta have the evil mug that goes with the good mug, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so yeah. Can we do an
I haven't lost my edge entirely.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. The women gotta stick together, I'm telling you.
I'm not sure if that's for a male or a female.
Yeah.
Can you do a couple quick questions?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's
What song has reflected you as an artist to the new fans? What song of yours?
I think my song, Not Having Fun, would be the one that was most reflective of me as an artist, both in, like, from the lyrical content and in how honest and honestly uncomfortable it is, the subject matter is, and personal, and then also the instrumental component to it is a good example of the kind of guitar that I play and the sort of chords and sonic things that I'm into.
Nice. Okay, so yeah. I'm looking forward to this one. Biggest pet peeve.
Biggest pet peeve ever? Like
biggest pet peeve. Whatever you want to feel for that one right now.
Oh, wow. Man, I feel like I need to think about this one.
Remember, bring the sass. Come on, girl.
Oh, there's so many. you know, maybe mansplaining is always a pet peeve.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, love it. Love it.
That's, you know, definitely always been a pet peeve. It's something I'm familiar with.
I think
a lot of people do it.
They do. You'd be surprised at how many. People are going to check their conversation real quick when they go to answer something. I'm looking at John right now.
Oh yeah. Well, I find that especially as a woman who's an instrumentalist, like, you know, if you walk into a guitar store or something.
Yes.
Mansplaining is infuriating. Just the assumption based off of, I don't know, looking at my face that, like, I have no idea what I'm talking about happens more often than not, I'd say.
Do you really get into the kind of different guitars that you like just to throw it back at them?
Bring them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, try to show off my knowledge just a little bit.
Yes, you know what? That's, you know, I'm glad to hear that. So glad to hear that. Okay, so first song that you ever downloaded.
Oh, wow. It must have been like a Carrie Underwood song because I used to be so into American Idol. It might have been like Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood.
Nice. Classic. See, that's that sass. There you go. Okay, we're getting to know you a little bit better. Okay, so biggest life lesson so far?
Biggest life lesson?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Let's see if she brings some sass to this one.
Yeah, let me think. See, I want to say something intelligent, but I'm on the spot here. Usually I'd, you know, premeditate this answer.
Yeah, but you remember that raw honesty, remember? That's what we look for.
Right. You know, I think, you know, I'm not sure if this is so much a lesson, but just starting to understand what you have while you have it. You know, that's something that could be taken from the pandemic and other stages of my life, people passing away, relationships ending. You know, it's hard to understand how good things are when you're living in them every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been, you know, a reoccurring lesson that I've learned throughout my life. you know, especially during the pandemic, of course, because we all look back on how great things were a year ago when we were all, you know, going out to restaurants with our friends, and you miss that stuff now. So, you know, learning to be thankful in the moment, I think, is something that can seriously improve your life.
That's what I've got at the end of my show, because, you know, it's just something that's always stuck with me my whole life. But, you know, until you go through stuff, you don't realize when you did have those carefree days with not one worry and you didn't have any problem that day. You have no idea how lucky you are when you start seeing what, you know, something can happen overnight like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So great, great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
Favorite book right now?
You know, I'm about to start a book called Attached. I suppose I can say that's my favorite book because I'm about to start it, but it's just on my brain right now.
Okay.
And it's about the different types of attachment that people have to one another in relationships. And apparently there are three different kinds of those, and everybody falls into one category. So I'm looking forward to figuring out which kind of attachment I have, attachment style.
Who's it written by?
I'm not sure. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Okay, so I have to look that one up. That one sounds really good.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it. It's been recommended to me many times.
Okay.
It's by Amir Levine.
Oh, there you go. That's why that sounds familiar. There you go. Now I know which one you're talking about. There's been a lot of hype about that one over lockdown. So a lot of people have been reading that one. Yeah. Okay.
Right, yeah, lots of you know, interest in self-reflecting and learning about oneself, I think, during the pandemic.
Yeah, but you know what? I think when we separate away from all the noise, I think it's good just to filter, get rid of, you know, the baggage. You know, like we said before in the interview here, you know, so many people go through life and that stuff builds up if you don't deal with it. And I think it's just one way of people learning how to look at life for yourself personally.
Yeah.
You know, in a healthier way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't come back, you know, later, and you can handle, you know, different situations so much easier when you understand yourself. So I think that clarity, you know, always helps, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so favorite thing to do with your girlfriends?
Sit around, eat charcuterie, listen to music.
Ooh.
Get drunk.
Very cool. Okay.
All like that combination of things specifically.
Okay, so favorite gift to give?
Favorite gift to give. I like to hand make cards, actually. Quite into the crafting element of it, you know, getting different kinds of paper and stickers and pretty little things and
pretty little things
them a lot. Yeah,
you know what, I think that's nice too, because I would rather get something like that than a store-bought, because it's more personal, right?
For sure. Yeah, it's fun to make too. It's a good little activity.
Yeah, see, that's what happens when you're in the pandemic, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Favorite male singer of all time?
You know, he's one of my more recent favorite artists. His name is Adam Melcher, and I'm not sure how long he's had music out for, but I've been listening to him for maybe a year and a half or so, and he just quickly became my favorite artist, and he very recently signed to Warner, so he's been, you know, more of a smaller up-and-comer for the last couple of years.
Nice.
But nonetheless, my favorite.
Very, very important. I really like his work, too. So, yeah, he's really done some great stuff. And they've signed. Warner has really done a good job in the last couple of months in getting some new artists signed. Really, really great job.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that you cherish and why that you can't be without? It might be a material thing. It could be anything.
Oh, I think my dog. I have a dog named Louise.
Oh, a cockapoo.
She's a very sweet, smart dog, and she's been with me through a lot. I've had her for a couple years, and, you know, she belonged to my partner and I, and we recently split up, and I'm keeping her.
Oh, see, you know what? You can tell all those stories, too, and it doesn't go anywhere else, and they just sit and listen, right? They're so dedicated, I'm telling you.
I know. Yeah, she's curled up in front of me right now.
Oh, nice. Do you have any pictures of her on social media?
I think I do, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to look her up. Okay, so best advice, sorry, that you've ever been given? Doesn't necessarily need to do with the music industry or anything, but just something that has really been a staple for you.
Gosh, these are the questions that I know I have a good answer to, but when I'm asked on the spot, they just leave my mind completely. Let me think. I mean, I could kind of touch on the point that I was making earlier about in being thankful for what you have while you're in the moment and mm-hmm. learning how to recognize that. I know I use that as a life lesson, but it's something that, you know, people have spoken about before and recently that it's just stuck with me lately.
I know my mom used to say to me all the time, she would always say, what can you do to help yourself? You know, if I was ever, you know, bothered by something, and she'd go, you know, what can you do in the moment? What can you do to help yourself? And it used to drive me crazy, you know, because sometimes you just want to be able to say what you wanted to say. And it's just, you know, and then she'd just bring it really calmly going, what can you do to help yourself to live in the moment? And now it just means so much more to me. And, you know, I think it's just such a great piece of advice. I'm sure that, you know, so many moms are telling, you know, their children out there, right?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it makes me think of so many different things, like not just the pandemic, but people in my life that I've lost, or even just reflecting on, you know, my time at Belmont in Nashville, like at the height of it when things were so much fun and it was, you know, you're not spending that time thinking about it ending, which on one hand is good. You don't want to be, you know, worried about it ending. But at the same time, you know, you don't know how much you're going to miss it later.
Absolutely. What about if you knew what you know now, what advice would you give yourself and girls out there?
Learn an instrument sooner rather than later, I would say.
Okay.
The younger you are, the better. And don't be afraid to collaborate with people that you, whose style you might not like or appreciate. Mm-hmm. I'd say don't be so quick to turn people down, because I remember one of my songwriting professors at Belmont telling us, like, if you look around the room right now, I can guarantee you that there are a couple people in this room who aren't going to write anything good in this class, and in a few years they're going to blow up. So, you know, say yes to writing with everybody, basically. And they were absolutely right about that. There are definitely people that I can think of that, you know, didn't make a big impact in the class at the time, and, you know, the ones who did make a big impact are, some of them are not doing music anymore, and some of the ones that, you know, you maybe never noticed are doing amazing things right now and turned out to be great writers and musicians.
Enjoy it while it lasts, right? Because you never know how long, you know, you're going to be doing this thing. So, you know, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Really good point. Okay. So it has been such a pleasure, and we really hope that you're going to come back to Music's Journey and we can catch up and see what's happening in the summer for your brand new EP. How's that?
Thank you. Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks so much for having me. Good questions.
Well, you know what? I'm good at that part of it. So it's that, you know, that social end that I'm used to doing so well. So thank you so much for coming on to Music's Journey today. And we are so excited about your brand new single out today. And that is On the Floor by Kate Gillespie. So we're really, really happy for you. And we look forward to seeing what kind of response we get to this one. So I'm going to be taking a look at that, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot out there. But you stay sassy, okay? Promise.
Okay, I will. I won't lose my edge.
Please don't lose your edge. I'm counting on you.
Yeah.
Keep writing. Keep writing and uplifting us all, okay? So you're doing such a great job.
Will do. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kate.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Music's Journey with indie singer-songwriter Kate Gillespie with her brand new single, On the Floor, released today. Download it. Make sure that you add it to your playlist. Share it, and don't forget to call your local radio station and request it. Such a great song, and you know what, girls? It is sassy, and we just know her to do that. So I'm really, really excited about this new single for her. So I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of breakups that have happened in lockdown. So this is one that is about raw honesty, and you know what? just transparent feelings that we all can feel. And you know what? It might not be just, I should correct that now, it should be not just a guy or a girl. It could be anybody about anything. So I think that all of us can feel what it's like to leave something on the floor about now. I really hope that you like it and that you guys get a chance to be able to play it. She's got a lot of new music coming up, so stay tuned. And we're going to have her back for her brand new EP that she's going to be releasing this summer. So she's got lots of songs she's been working on. So we look forward to having her back. We've had a fantastic week, a very unusual one where we don't usually put that many shows into one week, but we've just had so many songs that we needed to share with you and some great news from a lot of artists. So we're really grateful to have everybody like Tim Hicks and David Boy James and Susie Corey and so many more that we've had on the show, and Kate Gillespie. So we've got so much coming up and we look forward to it. We've got the Command Sisters that are going to be here. We got Caitlin Bean. We've got Katie Topham. We have Diane Chase, Glass Tiger, and so many more. So we've got a couple of the rock bands that are going to be coming up too. So I think you're going to look forward to it. So thank you once again. I am Kim Sear, your host for Music's Journey. And go out there, make some memories, tell somebody that you love them. And you know what? Take that time today. Make it count. Make those beautiful memories today. Thanks so much.
Once again, a great big thank you to Kate Gillespie for chatting with us today. The new single is On the Floor. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Podcast Addicts, Deezer, Player FM, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, and so many more. Don't forget to check out the website NowAndThenMagazine.com. There's a link there for the Music's Journey podcast. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell and is performed by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.